Christ is among us. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I know there's a few of us tonight, spring break, so I know a couple of families are gone. But we can still reflect a little bit on the whole season of Lent, because I know for Pierre, he's an old hand at all this, but for all the rest of us, we're new. Elizabeth, the Ruthenian, so she's an old hand at it too. But no, old is not derogatory, it's just an expression, right? But no, for most of us, this evening, the pre-sanctified is a relatively new experience. And so I like to take a little time to reflect more, as I did 2 weeks ago, on really the inner logic of Great Lent and this particular service, the pre-sanctified, for us, because it's a whole different experience than what those of us who have grown up in the Western Church would have or have known. So 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks past, the homily I gave addressed the differences between the divine liturgy and the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts, right? There's a divine liturgy and the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts. Fasting and the divine liturgy are incompatible. Fasting and the divine liturgy are incompatible. The Lord taught, one does not fast while the bridegroom is present. So indeed then, the divine liturgy is a participation in the heavenly banquet. And this heavenly banquet is associated with festal joy and feasting. This is very important to remember about the divine liturgy. It is an actual participation in the heavenly banquet. I have to say, I learned more about this from the Eastern perspective, as I've moved over to the East in the last 5 years, then I really got this experience in the Western Church. It's a heavenly banquet, and you and I are with the Lord in this heavenly banquet. The liturgy that's going on earth is a participation in the very banquet that's going on in heaven eternally. Fasting, therefore, it's most inappropriate on Saturdays and Sundays of Great Lent. Saturdays and Sundays. We don't have time to talk about the meaning of Saturday. That might maybe next year we could do that, right? We slowly introduce ourselves. This year we'll focus mostly on Sundays, right? Nevertheless, even though fasting is incompatible with the divine liturgy, Mother Church in her tradition tells us Holy Communion is most necessary for one's baptismal life. It's the source of our godly life. All the more is it needed during this time of intensified spiritual warfare. Holy Communion is the manna in the desert of Holy Lent. It's the manna, right? We manna, that bread that the Lord gave to the Hebrew people as they were traveling through the desert from after they left Egypt on their way to the Holy Land. And they were hungry, and the Lord gave them manna from heaven. And they picked that manna, and it was provided for them until they entered into the Holy Land. Such is the typology for us. It's a foreshadowing of the church, of the New Testament, right? On this earth, we are traveling through the desert to the promised land. Not a physical land. The promised land is heaven. And the manna that God is giving us to sustain us on this journey is Holy Communion. That's what the church fathers teach us. Hence the reason that the church wants us to be celebrating and instructs this liturgy of pre-sanctified gifts to be celebrated. And it's so important for us to attend. It's very important for us to make the effort to attend. So then another question rises. If the Eucharist is incompatible with fasting, why is there any fasting still on Saturdays and Sundays of Great Lent? Because you notice, on that Melkite calendar, you have these rose-colored days and you have these purple days, right? Rose-colored days begin from Monday, basically, through Friday, right? That's that really strict fast. But you're still fasting on Saturdays and Sundays, right? We still don't eat meat if we're really doing the full fast. We're not eating meat. We're not doing dairy products. We're not eating eggs. So wait a minute, Father. This is a contradiction. No, it's not. The Byzantine and Antiochian tradition have two types of fasting. And both are rooted in sacred scripture and continued through the tradition. And they address two different states of the human person, which would explain why a Western Catholic not too long ago, this past week, called me a relative of mine, a cousin of mine, who actually is Melkite, but she's not coming here. I have to work on her. But she called me. She's grown up in the Western Church, Roman Church, right? Her mother was Orthodox. Her father's Melkite. But had she been coming here, she'd understand why with the two types of fasting. But because she's grown up in the Western Church, not the bashed Western Church, but the Western Church has lost all sense of fasting. So it's very confusing to people, right? The normal questions. And her question was this: Father, can I, whatever I'm giving up during the course of the season of Lent, can I still do it? Can I eat it on Sunday, or can I do it on Sunday, right? Such legalism. We don't even think that way in the Eastern Church. But the tradition actually answers the question, and let's look at the answer. Right? There are two types of fasting, right? There's the total fast, and there's the ascetical fast. The total fast and the ascetical fast, right? The total fast is from all food and drink. All food and drink. The second is the ascetical fast, which is an abstaining from certain foods and drinks. So, in the tradition, what does it teach us? The total fast is always a short duration. Of course, if you did it too long, you'd end up dying, right? It's obvious, right? It's usually limited to one day or even half a day, right? From the earliest days of Christianity, the total fast has always been understood as the preparation and an expectation for the joy about to come. So, a total fast, I am emptying myself for a coming celebration. That's the reason I'm preparing for that, right? So that's why in the church you'll have the great this total fast on the evening of Christmas, the evening of Theophany, right? Why? It's preparing for these great feast days. So Christmas, can fall on any day of the week. Theophany can fall on any day of the week. And so there's this vigil that goes on, and the vigil is filled with a lot of prayer, and we total fast, no food, no drink, until we allow the Eucharist to break our fast, right? The Eucharist breaks our fast. So, and then, of course, every Sunday, the preceding evening, beginning Saturday evening at some point, we enter into a fast, a total fast, for no food until we receive the Eucharist. Okay? Why? We're preparing for the Messianic banquet. The Messianic banquet. The presence of the kingdom on earth. Now, the total fast is actually expressing that in the Eucharist, is my ultimate fulfillment. It's my truest satisfaction. It's my genuine nourishment. I don't ultimately live on the food of this world. This food rots. It dies. It decomposes. And if that's my sole source of nourishment, guess what? My body ends up dying, right? But if we live on the bread of eternal life, this life is ongoing. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't decompose. This life is eternal life. So when I eat the bread of eternal life, I am living. I'm alive and moving toward eternal life, the life that never ends. Let's expand a little bit more and say, should I only live on the bread of the earth? There's something else more going on there. More going on. It's this reliance on human knowledge, human technology, human science, human wisdom. And yet all that fails us in the end. All of that fails us. It dies, right? It dies. The other type of fast is the ascetical fasting. So we have the total fasting, now we have the ascetical fasting. The ascetical fasting is a spiritual weapon against the tyranny of the flesh, so tell us the church fathers, so tell us our church mothers, so tells us all those who have gone into the battle of spiritual warfare, the monks, the nuns, those who have gone into the desert, right? They face the tyranny of the passions. the ascetical fasting, abstaining from meat, abstaining from fatty foods, abstaining from the eggs, dairy products, what's this about? It's about, it's a practice, a concrete practical exercise of subjecting my passions. Why? So that my spirit can come alive and rule the body. The first sin in the Bible, the first sin of human history was what? The inability to say no to a food. The inability to say no to a food. And what happened after that? The passions went wild. And ever since then now, we all know, as St. Paul describes so well, this inner conflict in our lives. Why do I not do the things I want to do? And I do the thing, and I don't do the things I desire, right? This concept. Why do I not do the things I know I'm supposed to do? And I do the things I know I'm not supposed to do, right? And we all know the battle of the two wills in our heart, right? This is what the tradition understands. And so the ascetical fast is to help you and me realize that we don't live on this physical food. I don't need it at the end of the day. It's not my ultimate source of nourishment. And again, it's an exercise in realizing my truest light does not come from science, technology, human knowledge, medicine. Oh my gosh, I'll throw this out here, as controversial may be, but the saddest thing about this pandemic is how all we've heard about is how to preserve biological life. Stay away from people. Don't go to church. Isolate yourself. Alienate yourself. And it's been nothing but human wisdom. And what's happened? More people are dying of loneliness and alienation and isolation than of COVID itself. Because this is human wisdom. We've turned to human science. We've turned to human medicine to tell us everything. And what have we deprived God of, people of? God, the liturgy, the Eucharist. We live on more than human wisdom. We live on the wisdom of God. Yes, we must be smart and prudent about how we handle pandemics, but we cannot cower in fear and let human wisdom and human medicine dictate to us, because there's a whole higher element to us called the spiritual life. The spiritual life. So unlike the total fast, which is a short duration, the ascetical fast is by nature long and sustained. Why? Because it's a slow uprooting of the spiritual diseases that we've come to consider as normal in our lives. So much of sin in our society, and we've picked it up, we have come to accept as normal and natural. This is just what it means to be human. No, to sin is not human. To sin is to be unhuman, inhuman. Sin is inhuman, yet we have come to accept this, oh, this is just the way I am. No. So through the ascetical fasting, this slow uprooting of these spiritual diseases, I am freed. I become a free man, a free woman in Christ. Such are the two fastings that the church gives to us during this season. And for this reason, we continue to practice the total fasting and the ascetical fasting, but we realize too the importance of the pre-sanctified liturgy, coming to find our ultimate satisfaction, our ultimate nourishment in the Holy Eucharist. Glorify Christ.